Yeah. You know what time it is? It's after 10. We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we can be lunatics now. It's Safe Harbor, the Dark 30 Hour. I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because the phone lines are open, and it's now partially up to what, well, what you want to say. This is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. The local number is 240-9962, or toll-free 800-570-9962. I have producer Manny the Man Creech. We have investigator Shelley Wright here, who has felt right at home listening to this conversation. And, of course, we've talked many times about her interest in magic, and we do have two great magicians here with us. We have Juve and Lady Passion from Coven Olden Wild. And here it is, Christmas time. People are putting up Christmas trees, and a lot of people don't realize that the celebration of the tree has pagan origins. And you, Lady Passion, lived for 3 months?
3.5.
3.5 months underneath the magnolia tree downtown, which is still standing there gloriously above the old jail building. There were possible plans to tear them all down and destroy them at one point, but now they are standing. There is a tavern there where people are celebrating and smiling and dancing and enjoying themselves, and you guys had a lot to do with that. Why did you decide that you needed to embrace this tree, Lady Passion, and make this such an important part of the culture here to be preserved?
Well, again, I think we said it before that what we do comes from our beliefs, comes from our tenets, the tenets of our religion, the old religion. And our tenets, it says, love what is healthy, holy, sacred, natural. And we worked for 3 years within the system, going to every single meeting, every single week, 3, 4, 5 times a week. We bumped it up. We got them, the tree commission to save the, you know, to give a resolution begging the city to save the tree. We got the city and the county fighting against each other. We affected the election. But what we did was we rallied everybody. We said, this is not just a me issue. It's an everybody issue. And if we let them do this now, there's no stopping them. Them. And you know, it worked out great, because you know what? We really focused on a win-win-win. We wanted the people to win. We wanted to protect the park, save the trees, save the buildings, save the ancient old Hayes and Hobson building, save the jail underneath it, and we got it.
Yeah, that right there is proof that magic works. And all you really had was your intention and your ability to communicate with other people who shared that intention, right?
And our knowledge of spellcraft and practice with it. For instance, every year for the previous, every Halloween for the previous, I guess at that point it was 13 years, we had been conducting this big public ritual. And that takes a lot of magic right there to make that happen right. And so understanding things like which direction were the four directions, where's the four quarters, north, south, east, west, wherever you are, understanding that what you're constantly focusing on this tree, but it's also the world tree, you know, it's the center of everything. Keep the focus.
And the thing that I did, I think that was really different, was that I made it an outdoor living room, very southern genteel. I arranged lots of chairs in a crescent shape right in front of the tree. Anyone could come down, shake their fist at city council or the county courthouse, rail as they wished. Lawyers were passing by, street people. It was a whole melange. We got 9,000 signatures.
Wow, that's a lot.
We got people, tourists from as far away as New Zealand, wanting to see, and I quote, the witch tied to the tree.
Yeah.
I was never tied to the tree. Let me dispel that.
Not physically, no, but spiritually you
but
were.
It was picked up. It was a rumor.
Yeah, oh, I'd heard that over and over. Tied to the tree, chained to the tree, yeah.
Yeah.
Never happened.
But in a sense,
didn't have to.
But you know, but in a sense, in a magical sense, you were, because you know we'd circled it with a ritual, chanting spells of protection.
I slept right on its base.
Mm-hmm.
We had
a little altar there that people brought things to.
We had photographers who came and documented. We had people watching our gypsies watching our back every night when, you know, certain types came in and started making chainsaw sounds. You know, we had protectors. We had people that would feed us in the morning and give us coffee and, you know, give me vitamin C, you know, and just all kinds of stuff. It was a whole organic thing. It was really beautiful to see.
But every night we'd recast that circle of protection around it and around ourselves. And that's a definite skill that witches learn is to... you know, to work with, well, we call it energy, but, you know, other cultures call it chi or prana, or it's that invisible life force that runs through everything and everyone. And we learn to sense it and to channel it and move it. And that's one thing that was, Passion was too, constantly aware of how that flow of energy was moving at any given point. Making sure
I had reporters tell me this. You know, this is how people die. They get whacked over stuff like this. You know that, right? I said, yeah, I know. But you know what? We did it because it was the right thing to do, and everybody knew that. Everybody, even the developer, finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the winner. He's the big winner.
Yeah. He has said time and time again he is just happy as can be with what you did, because that he would have lost a fortune if he had proceeded with his original plans. Now everybody is a winner in this situation, and so the power of magic has prevailed here. What would you advise someone to do who has never dabbled with what they consider magic to sort of see for themselves that it does work?
I say problems are out there everywhere. Mm-hmm. Take a look around. Open your eyes. In your neighborhood, in your city, in your county, there's a problem. Somebody's up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a powers that be. Maybe it's a neighbor. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But take a look around. Figure it out and go, that's wrong. And, you know, what can I do about it? And then rally and marshal your forces. You know, I mean, we are not as atomized as they want us to believe that we are. We have much more power than people believe, and it's there for the taking. All the spells are there. For any issue, there's a spell for that.
Well, we've got a spell right here, actually, one that that we used last night under your guidance to bless the old jail museum there now. And Enos Lasas Yavate, Neve Lue, Rue Marmar, etc., etc. Now, what is this spell exactly?
It's an ancient spell. It's called Barbarous Words of Power. It means we really don't exactly know how far back it goes. It seems to be Proto-Etruscan, Proto-Roman.
Well, it's the oldest known Roman spell. The Romans used to, they called it the Song of the Arval Brothers. And they would chant or sing this around the boundaries of Rome once a year to protect the city. And
it calls on Mars in his ancient aspect as an agricultural god before they made him, convert him into a more warrior-esque kind of god.
Mm-hmm.
And it calls on him, it conjures him in three ways, Mars, Marmor, and Marmar. And so it calls on the ancient heroes to step up and protect and strengthen. And also, I guess what we were trying to do is grant you abundance. To make sure that we can protect and preserve the jail.
Yeah, and we also, you know, made sure to protect the, and this is something you can do in your house too, is if you're trying to magically protect it, pay special attention to the doors and windows. You know, that's the lintel above the window is where people would traditionally hang little charms to keep evil spirits out, like maybe a little blue glass ball to defend against the evil
eye.
And
in this case, we anointed it with Horn of Plenty for life. it's a special anointing oil, and it just grants abundance and, you know, conjuring tourists. And, you know, we want to put the jail on the map.
Right.
To preserve it.
Sure.
Protect it.
Well, if anybody wants to have further clarification about that or any other issues, again, if you want to call in here, we do have two very sincere witches in the studio here until 11 p.m. The local number is 240-9962 or toll-free 800-570-9962. When you look at the Christmas season and the way people celebrate it, what, and let's start with you, DeJuve, what do you see when you look at the symbols that are celebrated this time of year?
Well, you look at behind all of them, they all focus on the sun, and I mean S-U-N,
yeah,
not the S-O-N, sun,
right?
Is also, yeah, I mean, that's why originally the church picked the winter solstice to coincide with the birthday of Christ, which nobody really knew at that by the time they settled on that date. But that's when the sun is the shortest day of the year, and after that, the sun begins to rise again. It's reborn, and you look at the Christmas tree with the star on top. You look at the you know, the whole focus on lights and so forth, and the shiny gifts, the kind of abundance that the sun grants when it raises the crops in the field.
For pagans, it's a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, how do we know, we poor people, how do we know we're going to make it through? We have to have faith. We have to believe. And it's a testament of faith in a way. Not faith like Christians believe in faith, but as in, yeah, we believe we're going to make it. We're going to bond together. We're going to band together. We're going to feast together. We're going to give gifts, and we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Through the cold. And what?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, we are, I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we will start taking phone calls. We have Alex up first, and again, the number is locally 240-9962. That's 240-WWNC, or toll-free 800-570-9962. That's 800-570-WWNC. And, yeah, you know, feel free to give comments, questions, take advantage of this opportunity. And we'll talk a little bit more when we come back about the significance of how the seasons in general sort of parallel the kinds of blessings and ceremonies like Samhain. There's a big difference between going out there and trick-or-treating versus having a Samhain festival, for example. So when we come back, we'll continue here with the High Priest and Priestess of Coven Oldenwilde. That's Oldenwilde. We have Lady Passion and DeJuve from Coven Oldenwilde. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC, the talk of the mountains. welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Yes, we have two very sincere witches here in the studio tonight from Coven Ovenwild and Oldenwild here. Maybe I have been saying Ovenwild. I didn't realize it. It's the way it rolls off my tongue. Coven Oldenwild.
We won't put you in the oven for it.
Please forgive me. And for those of you who are in this area and you've been here for some while, you should definitely know who they are. But they are nationally and even internationally known. The Goodly Spellbook is a very popular book. And we want to take your calls right now and give you this opportunity to ask questions or make comments and interact. Again, the local number is 240-9962 or toll-free 800-570-9962. So let's begin that right now. Hello, Alex, and welcome to Speaking of Strange. You there, Alex? Well, okay. I don't hear anybody on line two, so let's try it out. Maybe we lost Alex. If we lost you, go ahead and give us a call right back. Not sure what happened there, but you know, feel free to give us a buzz. If you had to drop during the break, we'll go ahead and put you back in there. While we are waiting to see if we can get that call, here we go. It's probably Alex calling back in right now. And if so, we'll go ahead and put... Oh, okay. Well, we got another call coming in. The phone lines are lighting up here, so as soon as we get somebody patched through, who do we have here, Manny? Okay. Hello, Angie. Are you with us? What's wrong here, Manny? Angie?
Yes.
Okay, there you are. Okay. Well, you know, sometimes the phone lines start doing very weird things when we have all this energy running amok. So, Angie,
okay, yeah.
You are
Hi,
on
I'm
the
Angie.
Air. Hi there. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi.
Yeah. So, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm very impressed with what I'm hearing, and no, I haven't been here long enough to know who these wonderful folks are, but I'm enjoying what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been curious, and based on the definition of a witch, I definitely qualify as a witch.
Good.
But I am curious about love spells. You know, there's an individual who I know is going through some healing over our breakup, and I feel like it's time for us to reconnect. And I was wondering if there's an appropriate love spell for something like that.
There's so many in our book. There are spells for communicating psychically over great distances, for instance. There's ways to see how your loved ones are faring from afar. And there's also what I think is just the bomb ditty is Lady Passion's Infallible Love Oil. It's easy to make, but it's really ancient and it works like a charm.
Okay.
You put that on, you put it on your pillow, you just wear it, and they will come to you.
Oh, okay.
Beat them back with a stick. Take your choice.
So even though we don't have any interaction or interfacing or anything,
doesn't
it
matter.
Is something that energetically works?
Mm-mm, doesn't matter. These are old spells, and they work for a reason, and that's why
oh,
we
wonderful.
Produced them. We printed them because we wanted people to know what worked.
Exactly. Well, I look forward to getting that book. Thank you
awesome.
All so much.
And Angie, give us a call back after you do it and let us know what happens,
yeah.
Okay?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much.
All
have
right.
a wonderful evening.
Hey, you too. Good luck to you. So let's go now to, I believe we'll try Alex again. Hi, Alex. Are you with us? Huh. Alex just will not. Hello, Alex. Are you there now? What's going on here, Manny? Alex is not meant to be on the radio tonight. Alex?
Maybe it's one of those ghosts we
encountered
in the jail.
That is so weird. Maybe Alex doesn't exist. Well, Alex, we cannot hear you, so we're just going to keep on trying. Now let's go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Well, welcome, Jesse. What can we do for you tonight?
Yes. They were talking about manifesting.
Right.
Late earlier in the show, and I was wondering, does experience affect the kinds of things you are able to manifest?
Did you say, does experience affect the things that we were able to manifest?
Yes. Large, small.
Good question. I think once you learn how to do it, you can do anything from the big to the small. It's just getting to that point where you know you can do it.
Okay.
So, you know, I say go for the big. I mean, just don't even worry about it. Just assume that if you can manifest anything, it doesn't matter if it's big or small. It's just the same technique. So remember, you've got to be desperate, needy, and deserving.
Oh, deserving that was it. Was deserving,
the third.
Right.
Deserving is the third thing. And if you've got that, you can manifest anything in the palm of your hand.
The thing I find most interesting is that when you really focus on manifesting something, like, for instance, saving a tree, the mechanism by which it works may be perfectly cause and effect and, you know, seem perfectly logical. But when you step back and look at it, it's like, how the heck did that happen?
So
I really
magical.
Got what I wanted, but it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't done these magical things about it. For instance, the very first moment under the tree when the developer, Stuart Coleman, appeared, and we very first encountered him. We had been camped under the tree for a day or two, I think, and somebody snuck us a little wine. So, you know, I took a bit of it, and I
took a little bit too.
Yeah, well, well, after taking a bit of it, then I took a bit left and out to the back corner of where we were, and
gave a libation
to the gods, and I did it in a little spiral pattern, and just as soon as I looked up from doing that,
there was this big
black limousine, and he was stepping out of it, this silver haired gentleman in a blazer, and I thought that's got to be Stuart Coleman.
Started the whole negotiation, things that people saw and things that they didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
It carried on even after the tree sit. Even a year after the tree set, we were still negotiating to save the Hayes and Hobson and the trees in the jail. So,
but
I mean,
it all started with that little. Well, I mean, it coincided with that spell, and that's the way things happen a lot with magic. It's a coincidence, quote unquote. But it's you know, those little intersections of time and space that are more than just accidental.
It's a confluence of synchronicity and letting nature guide you. It's like a silver web. You pull that strand and all kinds of good stuff falls out of it.
Yeah. All right. Very well. Well, thanks for your call there, Jesse. And now let's try this again. Alex, are you there?
Hey.
Yay!
Hey, right. Alex.
Now we can celebrate. I don't know what was happening there, Alex, but you, sir, are finally on the air.
I have no idea. Anyway, I just, I don't know. I'm going through a lot of stuff here with my father, and I figured that, I don't know, I saw a ghost when I was a kid, and when I went down to this couch, this ghost kind of brought me down to this couch, and when I pulled my head back there, this ghost kind of just, you know, put her hands on my head.
That's a she-ghost.
Do what?
So
I'm saying it's a she-ghost?
Do what?
Did you say it was a she-ghost?
A female?
Yeah, it was a she-ghost.
And female.
Children all around.
So you were lying on the couch and you felt the ghost pull your head down into...
Well, I kind of was on the other side of the couch and I kind of shooed her away. And then all of a sudden there was like a sad face on this ghost.
Ah.
Then all of a sudden I... You know, she brought me down, and she was awesome. You know, it was kind of soothing and warm.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Were you lonely?
Yeah, I am.
Were you when that happened?
Do what?
Were you lonely when that happened?
I'm sorry, what?
Were you lonely when that experience happened to you?
I was a child.
Oh, this happened when you were a child.
Even if
okay.
you were a child, would you consider yourself at that time lonely? It matters.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that what you had was a succubus encounter. It happens when people are lonely. It's cross sex. So for females that are lonely, it's a masculine entity. If it's men, it's a female entity that comes.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good. As spirits go for a while, and then they get a bit unruly. And then, typically, I mean, it's so much. They're so powerful. They can actually hurt you a little bit. So,
not really.
There's only one spell if you want to get rid of him. It's not like banishing a ghost. Just eat 15 peony seeds, and that's it.
What's a peony seed?
A peony, peonies are flowers.
P-E-O-N-Y.
P-E-O-N-Y, peony seeds.
Okay.
Just 15 of them, and that's the only spell that I know that can crack that code. They have been around since Hector was a pup, way before human beings, and they are no joke.
It was beautiful, though.
I know, but what I'm saying is, the only other thing it could be is a goddess encounter.
That's a possibility.
And you know, you're the only one that would know. Is she harassing you, or do you feel goodly about it?
No, I felt great about it.
It could have, and then it could have been. An, what she's saying is, it could have been an encounter with a goddess too.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes, I mean, especially children are really open to seeing spirits and ghosts. They haven't had all that social conditioning that shuts them off to it. It could also be. You said you were having a lot of trouble at the time. Maybe it was a.
Well, recently I'm having trouble with my dad.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's your dad's problem?
He's sitting here trying to tell me what to do, and I did what he wanted me to do.
What to do or what to believe?
Do what?
What to do or what to believe?
I believe that you know, what I do is. I'm an actor, right?
Okay.
And he wants me to be something else.
Right. He wants you to settle down and be stable.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And are you saying your dad is doing this from, I mean, he's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I just want to make sure we weren't still talking about ghosts.
Well, I tell you what, we got to go ahead and take a break here. We're late, come back, let's continue getting the answer. If you can just listen off air there, Alex, so we'll see what they have to say. And I'd like to maybe talk a little bit more about the incubus and succubus phenomenon as well, because that's something that you hear a lot about, but not very many people know what to think of it. I'm talking right now with the high priest and priestess of the Coven Oldenwild. And Lady Passion, Diouve, and we're taking your calls at 240-9962 or 800-570-9962. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange. They are the authors of the goodly spell book, Old Spells for Modern Problems. Lady Passion, High Priestess. Diouve, High Priest. Coven Old and Wild. here tonight in the studio on Speaking of Strange. We're about to go back to the phone lines. In a minute, we'll talk to Brian. But first, let's do a little follow-up here for Alex's call and a bit more on the whole incubus-succubus thing, the idea that there may be beings out there that want to absorb energy from us when we are vulnerable.
These species, this species of entity, this species of spirit, is very sexual in nature and controlling. They start out really good, like the best lover you ever had, and then they start controlling. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, they can part you with all your friends, your neighbors, and your family. That's what makes them dangerous, and they're one of the few species of entity that we deal with that are, I think, truly dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But they only show up if you invite them.
Yeah.
They
got to be lonely. You got to pray under the moon. You got to be searching for your soulmate. That's always how it happens.
Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about it is that they seem to be very much, I mean, you can even find their names.
Oh, yeah. They've been documented.
They're very, very definite entity. Now, you know, I mean, that whole world of spirits seems to be just as diverse as the world of, animals or humans. I mean,
there are lots of positive spirits that can come to you and do this and do that and help heal you and give you wisdom and all that. But this is just one little, niche that's not so
benevolent. Very
benevolent.
Pernicious, yeah, and very, very hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, Brian. Welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Yes, I got a ghost in my basement.
Yes.
Y'all have any Ghostbusters up there?
What makes you think you need to get rid of it? What's it doing?
Wife, sometimes we hear some beating on the floorboards, and we can hear it, and it's hitting. And then when I go down in the basement, I found an empty six-pack in there.
Okay.
But there was no ghost. And then we went back up again, and it started all over again.
It hasn't hurt anyone in your family, though, has it? He hasn't hurt anyone?
No, he's a good guy, I guess. I don't know.
So why do you want to get rid of him?
Well, he might hit on my wife.
Okay, then I think you should communicate with him.
How should I do that?
Turn on the light down in the basement, ask it yes and no questions.
Yeah.
And it'll go flicker once for yes and twice for no, and that's the beginning. You can also use the radio. Turn on the radio, it can dial and create whole sentences. Or do EVP, electronic voice phenomenon. Take a digital voice-activated tape recorder and ask it questions and wait for the light, little red light to flicker. You can tell when it's talking back. And then put it, download that into a computer like iTunes or something.
Yeah.
And you can hear.
You think I'm
what they're
I
believe
you.
Every
time I go down there, he's missing and... I'm not lying about
it. I believe you.
Now, Brian, do you think that you may have an incubus that's going to mess with your wife?
No. Truth be told, ghosts go for the attic or the basement or the library or the doorway or a stairway. They are very particular. You have a ghost, pure and simple. But I'm just saying that you don't automatically have to get rid of them. Sometimes they can be a help. They can protect your property.
We were sleeping the other night. We heard something knocking on the floorboards, and it put a chill up through my spine. And
it's just because it's different. It's just because it's different, and you're just getting to know it. I say let it live unless it's causing problems. If it's throwing stuff around in the basement, okay.
No, he's not doing that. He's just
then let him live. Try to get to know him.
It might be a hobo from the railroad track. I don't know.
I don't think
That six-pack is a little suspicious.
No, right. That's typical ghost stuff.
All right, Brian, thanks for your call. Appreciate your input there. And absolutely. So now tell me this. I know this is always hard to address, but let me ask you first, Lady Passion. Tell me one of the weirdest things that you've ever been presented with in all of the times you've associated with the public seeking advice.
Wow. Okay. I had a guy email me swearing, blind, up and down one side and down the other, that he had two pentagrams etched in his palms.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you lie.
He sent me email proving he had two pentagrams etched in his palms. I don't know. These weird things happen, and people send us stuff like, I don't know, dead, desiccated, mummified things, and, you know, I mean, they ask us for everything. But I think what I value the most about a lot of what we do mm-hmm. is that we have a national prison inmate advocacy work that we do. I think a lot of Christians and monotheists, they try to claim that they are the, you know, they have the block, the lock on charitable works. They do not. Witches do a lot of charitable works for poor people.
Right.
Yeah, we do quite a bit of counseling, and we fill in a lot of the gaps that in the safety net. and it's, you know, and the difficult part is, of course, these are the people that come to us are the people that can't afford to
have the least ability to pay
yeah.
for our expertise.
Right.
So we are a 501c3 nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We do subsist on donations. But yeah, I mean, you know, Christians support their own.
Yeah.
Not so in the craft. I mean, we're supposed to give and give freely, and we do. But it's hard. It's hard to be ethical.
A lot of people can afford barter, but, you know, the bank doesn't take that. So yeah.
It's hard to live ethically.
But yeah, well, and there's a fundamental, I mean, there's money is fundamentally a form of black magic the way it's applied these days. Those great castles of wizards on Wall Street, you know, that are constantly doing their particular spells
but
on the economy.
Chaplains, officials, you know, they come to us. Christians come to us, say, how can we keep the young people in the pews? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not going to tell you how. You're stealing from us already, you know, with your chanting and your music. And you're dancing now. I'm teasing about that. Actually, I help everybody. We both do. We help every comer.
Sure. Well, okay, we got to go ahead and take our last break. When we come back, it's actually going to be kind of an historic last few minutes because tonight, when this show ends, it's going to be the last time that this particular time slot is the time slot for Speaking of Strange. When we come back next week, it's going to be 9 p.m. till midnight. It's going to be almost like a rebirth because having that one extra hour there that takes us up to the witching hour,
the witching
dun, dun, dun.
Is going to change the mood of this program. And so we're going to spend our final minutes here tonight talking a little bit about that and final things, thoughts, advice, suggestions that Lady Passion and the U of A would like to share with all of you. They are sincere witches here in the studio from the Coven Olden Wild that they founded. They founded right here in Asheville. And a lot of things are happening this week. The museum's opening up. The time slot is changing. I think part of this cosmic shift is finally starting to kick in. And, well, you're right here on the precipice. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC, the talk of the mountains. Yeah, go ahead. Write it down right now. Don't forget about it. There is a new chapter opening up here for the program because, you know, this show has been the only program that produces talk radio in this market. that has had an hour after 10 p.m., a safe harbor hour that we usually have used for Dark 30 material, the more controversial and outrageous stuff. Tonight we've taken a bit of a break from that because next week we're going to have 2 hours of safe harbor time from 10 to midnight. And this station's been here 85 years or something like that. And in that whole period of time, there have never been higher ratings on a Saturday night than there have been from the content we discuss on this show. And so we'll see how all that kind of shifts, but just make sure to mark it down on your calendar. Next Saturday, December the 11th, 9 p.m. is when you can tune in for this program. This also means less sports preemptions. It's like tonight we had to start late due to sports, and that always kind of messes us up a little bit. We didn't know that was going to happen. So hope you'll tune in, and we'll arrange all kinds of fun surprises for you. What are some last thoughts that the two of you would like to pass along to the audience? Lady Passion, we'll start with you.
I just like to encourage everybody that they have things in their kitchen cabinet. They have things at home all around them that are so easy to put together to help themselves and others. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you really want abundance right now, this is a hard time for a lot of people, difficult money, prosperity-wise, and all that. You take some rice, dried rice, and you mix it with green food coloring. It's called Lucky Fixed Rice. And you scatter that in your wallet, in your purse, your backpack, your pockets. You go with it, even in your shoes, and it brings money in to your home.
Nice. Okay. Well, that sounds like a great tip to pass along there. And, okay, how about you, Diuve?
Well, something I've been thinking about quite a lot, and certainly this is how we save the tree. It was most people, especially these days, are so focused on polarization, the differences between things, the divisions, you know, good versus evil, me versus you. But the magic lies in the in between places, the places where things come together, where things are in common, like the twilight between night and day. And just as a general piece of applied mystical advice, look for those intersections whenever you're dealing with a duality, with a conflict. Look for where they've got that third point in common, that middle ground.
Let none stop you or turn you aside. Push back.
Yeah. All right. Very well. The website is Oldenwild. Let's see. Where is it here? Oldenwild.org. Olden. Wilde, oldenwild.org, and people can contact you with any questions they may have and also find out how they can get a pre-publication copy of your newest book. And if you would give us a brief description, once again, what is it, the book about?
It's called Simply Savory, Magical and Medieval Recipes.
Okay. Magical and Medieval Recipes. I bet that's going to be on your bookshelf soon, isn't it, Shelley?
Scrumptious.
Shelley, have you just got the Goodly spell book yesterday. Have you done anything yet?
I haven't been able to yet, but I am so looking forward to it.
What chapter are you going to dig into? What's going to be your first spell, do you know?
I don't know yet. I don't know. It all looks so good.
Can you talk about it, or would that ruin it? Does it work if you talk about the spell you are
casting? It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Most of the time.
It worked
for
the magnolia tree, didn't it?
Yeah, we talked a lot.
We didn't print any information that's oath-bound. So.
Yeah, okay. Very well. Well, in that case, I sincerely thank both of you for being here, and I want to thank you for everything that you have done to preserve the things we have in Asheville and continue to do. So we will definitely stay in close touch, and we will watch this museum grow and see how this also affects the culture in downtown Asheville. So keep
so
in mind.
So mote it be.
So mote it be, that's right. And come on by Monday, we'll say about 1 o'clock if you're in the area. It's free. Stop in and see us. But that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I am Joshua P. Warren with producer Manny the Man Creech. We thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, and Mobius. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. You'll hear us next Saturday, 9 p.m. In the meantime, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. Be sure to sign up for our free email newsletter at the site for the latest updates. Hey, thanks for listening, and rest assured, when the amazing news happens, we will keep you informed first. So tune in next Saturday at 9 p.m. You are commanded.